translation. While this was going on, Raghunath Das thought of a tricky method of escape. Thus he humbly submitted this plea at the feet of the Mohammedan children. I'll read a few verses, just the English, which will show a little time. 25. My dear sir, my father and his elder brother are both your brothers. All brothers always fight about something. Text 26. Sometimes brothers fight among themselves and sometimes they have very friendly dealings. There is no certainty when such changes will take place. Thus I am sure that although today you are fighting, tomorrow you three brothers will be sitting together in peace. 27. Just as I am my father's son, so I am also yours. I am your dependent and you are my maintainer. 28. For a maintainer to punish the person he maintains is not good. You are expert in all scriptures. Indeed, you are like a living saint. 29. Hearing Raghunath Das's appealing voice, the Mohammedan's heart softened. He began to cry, and tears glided down his beard. 30. The Mohammedan children told Raghunath Das, "You are my son from this day on. Today, by some means, I shall have you released." 31. After informing the minister, the Chaudhry released Raghunath Das and then began to speak to him with great affection. 32. The elder brother of your father is less intelligent, he said. He enjoys 800,000 coins, but since I am also a shareholder, he should give some proportion of it to me. 33. Now you go arrange a meeting between me and your uncle. Let him do whatever he thinks best. I shall completely depend on his decision. 34. Raghunath Das arranged a meeting between his uncle and the Chaudhry. He settled the matter and everything was peaceful. 35. In this way, Raghunath Das passed 1 year exactly like a first-class business manager, but the next year, he again decided to leave home. 36. He got up alone one night and left, but his father called him in a distant place and brought him back. 37. This became almost a daily affair. Raghunath would run away from home and his father would again bring him back. Then Raghunath Das's mother began speaking to his father. 38. Our son has become mad, she said. Just keep him by binding him with ropes. His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. 39. Raghunath Das, our son has opulences like Indra, the king, the heavenly king, and his wife is as beautiful as an angel, yet all this could not tie down his mind. 40. How then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible even for one's father to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. 41. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy upon him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? 42. Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosani. 43. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. 44. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. 45. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. 46. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, "There is Raghunath Das, offering you obeisances." 47. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here. Today I shall punish you." 48. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly called him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. 49. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. 50. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. 51. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. 52. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. 53. Raghunath Das bought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other eatables and placed them all around. 54. As soon as they heard that a festival was going on, and was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus there were innumerable people. 55. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also bought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. 56. He also obtained five or seven especially large earthen pots. And in these pots, a brahmana began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. 57. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. 58. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champa kala. Then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added. 59. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his cloth for a new one and sat on the raised platform, the brahmanas brought before him the seven huge pots. 60. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle around the Lord. 61. Among them were Ramadas, Sudarananda, Gadada Das, Murari, Kamalakara, Sadashiva, and Parandra. 62. Dhananjaya Jagadisha, Parameshvara Das, Mahesh, Gauri Das, and Holder Krishna Das were also there. 63. Similarly, Udaranda Datta Thakur and many other personal associates of the Lord sat on the raised platform with Nityananda Prabhu. No one could count them all. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The devotees mentioned herein are described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his Anubhasya. For further information, one may consult the following references in the Adi Leela. Ramadas chapter 10, text 116 to and 118, and chapter 11, text 13 and 16. Sudarananda, 1123, Gadadhara Das, 1053, 1113 and 14, and 1117. The Murari mentioned herein is different from Murari Gupta. His full name is Murari Chaitanya Das, and he is a personal associate of Nityananda Prabhu. Thus one should consult chapter 11, text 20. Kamalakara, 1124, Sadashiva, 1138, Purandara, 1128, Dhananjaya, 1131, Jagadisha, 1130, Parameshvara, 1129, Mahesh, 1132, Gauri Das, 1126, Holder Krishna Das, 1147, Udarana Datta Thakur, 1142. Interesting purpose. Om Gyan Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militami Natasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section of verses, it's purport, or actually this it's part of the Leela, Anti-Leela, is specifically mentioning Raghunath Das Thakur and Lord Nityananda. At this time, Lord Nityananda is staying at the house of one devotee named Raghava Pandit. Raghava Pandit has... Raghava Pandit, thank you, has a sister, and her name is Damayanti. So Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti are very close associates of Lord Chaitanya. So she would make different kinds of preparations for Lord Chaitanya, and then she would have them delivered to him. And so whenever he was hungry, he would sometimes take these preparations while he was on these travels. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, he is obviously one of the six Goswamis, and at the end of every verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we say Rupa Raghunath Pade. We give respects to Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Rupa Goswami is a Rasacharya. He is the acharya of the transcendental loving mellows of the Lord, the different relishable relationships one can have with the Lord. We are called Rupanugas, Rupanuga Vaishnavas. We're called Rupanuga Vaishnavas because we follow Rupa Goswami, because he is teaching us how to follow the teachings, the mission, the example of Lord Chaitanya. As Rupa Goswami is therefore Guru, Raghunath Das Goswami is disciple. He is showing us how we follow Rupa Goswami. At the same time, he is also Guru, he is Goswami. In these verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning how Raghunath Das Goswami, he's always running away from home, right? Raghunath Das Goswami, in his childhood, when he was very young, I think he was 19, he got to serve, earlier than that, he got to serve Haridas Thakur. In serving Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur told him about Lord Chaitanya, and upon hearing about Lord Chaitanya, he became mad after Lord Chaitanya. So he wanted to join, he wanted to leave and go with Lord Chaitanya. And his parents kept catching him. You know, his father, as I said in this previous verse, his father caught him in a faraway place and brought him back home. Right? And actually, they got him married just to kind of trap him, to hold him down, you know. And it didn't work. He actually went and stayed as a duty. He actually stayed in his ashram. But he wouldn't live in the house. He used to sleep outside on a mandap. For 1 year, he would actually do like this. And we'll come back to him in a moment. He approaches here Lord Nityananda. Balaram Hoila Nitai. Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. He's no different. Lord Nityananda and Lord Balaram, they are guru principle. Lord Nityananda is calling Raghunath Das Goswami, he calls him a thief. He says, "You're a thief." Yeah. Why is he a thief? Raghunath Das Goswami is a thief because Raghunath Das Goswami wants to approach Lord Chaitanya directly. We are Gopi Bhattu Padapakamalayo Das Anutas. We are the servants, but we're the servants very far removed. Raghunath Das Goswami wants to approach Lord Chaitanya directly. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He's actually the property of his devotees. He actually is a property of Lord Nityananda. Right? This is the way that our parampara, that our system unfolds. Right? One cannot approach the Lord directly, one must go through his associates. So Lord Nityananda calls him a thief because he's trying to take the property of Lord Nityananda. He's trying to just come and have access. No, you can't do that, he's saying. You have to first approach Lord Nityananda. And what does Lord Nityananda tell him to do? He says, "You prepare a festival, right? Chip Rides Festival for my associates." Right? That means that in order to approach Lord Nityananda, we have to go through his devotees. Right? That is what's going on here. Lord Nityananda being Lord Vishnutattva, he's very powerful. Sometimes he would lead, or the devotees would have kirtan in his presence, and they would go on having kirtan for 1 month, right, without sleep, without food. Have you ever done kirtan for 1 month without food or sleep? Huh? Right? Can you imagine how hard it would be? So here, actually, this pastime is unfolding, but we also are hearing about Nityananda Prabhu. Because he is a Lord, he can empower his devotees. So they would go on like that. He would just nourish them internally with his own potency. And he was present at Panihata. Lord Chaitanya actually told Lord Nityananda to go to Bengal and to preach. It's interesting how there is a mention, there's a one purple in Chaitanya Charitamrita. See, because Lord, of all the Goswamis, right, Raghunath Das Goswami had the most association with Lord Chaitanya. Right? He had the most association. The others had, you know, relatively little time directly with Lord Chaitanya. But Raghunath Das Goswami was with him for quite an extended period, serving him under the direction of Sarup Damodar Goswami. Lord Chaitanya sent Lord Nityananda to Bengal to preach extensively. And there's one purport where Prabhupada is explaining how even being away from the Lord does not mean that one loses the mercy of the Lord. If one is engaged in the preaching mission, Prabhupada is explaining, then there is full protection and full blessings and full credit that is taking place. Yesterday I was just thinking about these verses and purports. In Navadvip, and at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, they mostly, installed Gaugadada deities. Right? In our ISKCON movement, Prabhupada, he installs Gaunitai. Right? So there's a difference. Why is it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, why do they install mostly, there were some exceptions, but mostly Gaugadada deities, but Prabhupada installs Gaunitai? It's because Gadada is actually who? He is? Who? Radharani, right? So when Lord Chaitanya is with Gadada, he's generally relishing his own internal mood. Right? Actually, you don't hear so much about Gadada Pandit in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the Lord has two aspects. There are two missions, right? The internal mission and the external mission, although both are fully spiritual. The internal mission is that the Lord wants to experience that particular flavor of transcendental mellow that is being experienced by his most intimate devotees. That is the internal mission. The external mission is the propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Right? And for the external mission of the propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement, the emphasis is on Gaunitai. Right? Lord Nityananda, Guru. Right? Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord. And so this is why there is this difference. Raghunath Das Goswami, he had very wealthy relatives, parents, uncles. They were extremely wealthy. And they were making, their annual income was 2 million gold coins. And their annual income was 2 million gold coins. They were actually getting literally 1% of the entire earnings of that area at the time. So, they were devotees, but they were actually considered materialistic devotees. Yeah? They were considered materialistic devotees by Lord Chaitanya. And when Raghunath Das Goswami finally escaped them, Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Shishi Jagannath, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gaunitai Guru Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Tulsi Maharani ki jai. When Raghunath Das Goswami managed to finally leave them, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, you managed to escape the hogs in stall. Because they were materialistic from the point of view that their plan was to be happy in this world. Although, being pious, they funded all of the brahmanas between Calcutta and Mayapur. All of the brahmanas, all of the Vaishnavas in that entire area were funded by the relatives of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he was from an extremely wealthy background. Let's see. Yeah, we find out more about Raghunath Das Goswami than any other of the Goswamis. And only he had, as I said before, extensive association with Lord Chaitanya. He was with Lord Chaitanya from the age of 19 till around 30 to 32 years of age, right? Much more extended period than anyone else. And he was the assistant to Sarup Damodar. He observed the Lord between those ages, 19 and 32. It's another interesting point. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, it's explained that Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. Now, Prabhupada also makes this point, although in one letter he actually says that not all of the Goswamis are eternal associates. It's very interesting, right? He actually says in one letter that not all of the six Goswamis are actually eternal associates of the Lord. But Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they are mentioned in Gaura Ganadesh Dipika to be eternal associates. And Prabhupada also, he says the same thing. Rupa Goswami first heard of Lord Chaitanya by Haridas Thakur. And then he went to leave. His parents tried to stop him. He'd run away. They'd catch him. They married him off to a beautiful lady. But still, they couldn't actually stop him. Because as he said, by his father here, he's got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Right? And therefore, he's like a madman. It's very interesting. This is the nature of our parampara. That we are strengthened by the mercy of the devotees. Unless one is able to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, there is absolutely no question of making advancement. But the mercy is also aligned with effort, right? So we have to do what we can, right? by strenuously, by, you know, with great intensity, with feeling, you know, with feel in a deep and intense way, we have to make the effort. Okay? And then that effort will attract mercy. Sometimes devotees feel their spiritual life is on hold. Right? Have you ever had that experience? You feel you're not making very much advancement. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. You're chanting every day. You're coming to class. You're worshipping the deity, taking prasadam. But you feel that your spiritual life is on hold. You feel you're not making very much advancement. But sometimes it can be the case you're making tremendous advancement, but you don't know it. Mercy, if the process is being followed, mercy is always there. Although, sometimes that mercy will manifest and sometimes it won't. Meaning that sometimes you'll have some external indications that you're advancing, sometimes that you won't. See, that's actually how it works. But if one is following, also always there is some advancement. I was thinking about some devotees. One devotee was complaining to me, right? One devotee was complaining about some other devotees. And this devotee doesn't do so much service, but he was complaining about these other devotees. Well, they have the wrong mood, right? The wrong mentality. And he was probably right. I remember asking Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, we were in Cambridge. I came to deliver something, and he was studying there at the time. And I said to him, Maharaj, what do you do if a devotee is doing service, or he's doing something, but he's doing with the wrong mentality, with the wrong mood? He was very unhappy that I asked that question, right? He immediately looked unhappy. The first thing he said to me, he says, it's just like Putana the witch. Right? He says, so Putana the witch approached the Lord, but she had poison smeared on her breast, and her intention was to kill him. He said, but the Lord took it that she's approaching me as a in the mood of a mother. And so even though he actually took away her life, you know, he killed her, but still she attained liberation. Right? It's interesting, explained by the acharyas, that she got liberation, and she, in the spiritual world, has that mood of parental affection. But because of the way that she approached, she can never serve the Lord directly. She's there in that mood, but she never directly gets to serve him. But anyway, that's an aside. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to me, he said, so therefore, even if one is doing something with the wrong intention, right? Still, by them engaging in devotional service, they'll become purified. Right? Even their intention will become purified. In Srila Bhakti Chintamani, there is this analysis that takes place. So on the one hand, you may say that one devotee has very good qualities. Right? So nice mood, proper mentality, etc., etc. Then on the other hand, someone, you know, bad mentality, maybe offensive mentality, but he's doing a lot of service. Now, the thing to understand, what delineates the two, good qualities can be the result of previous pious activities, right? So actually, of the two, the indication is the service, right? Although, as one becomes more advanced, one is able to be more discriminating, and then one can see to what degree is there is service attachment, and to what degree also bad mentality is there. Because if one continually cultivates the wrong mentality, one will fall away from the service. In particular, if one cultivates an offensive mentality, one's service will be stagnated, or one may even lose their ability to continue to serve in the association of the devotees. Mm-hmm. Well, of the two, service is more important. Right? Because even if one is unclean, if one is engaged in the devotional service, the mentality will become purified. Krishna will arrange for the purification and the correction of that devotee by them serving in the association of the devotees. Right? It cannot be done independently. Right? It is the case also, sometimes, that someone's good qualities are a result of their devotional service also. So that cannot be completely ruled out, although that kind of discrimination would require one to be more advanced. At the high levels of Madhyam or Uttama, one is able to see the internal symptoms. Right? Like Guru. Guru can see the internal symptoms. Right? If he is on that platform, they can see the internal symptoms. Therefore, he can understand to what degree it is a result of service, to what degree it is a result of pious credits, to what degree it is a result of even previous devotional activity as well. What else could we mention? Interesting, when Raghunath Das Goswami ran away, when he actually approached Lord Chaitanya, he actually first met Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. you'd expect that after, you know, running away so many times, meeting Lord Chaitanya, you'd expect that Lord Chaitanya would say, okay, now you come and stay with me. No. Lord Chaitanya said, you go back home. Right? He said, no, go. Right? Lord Chaitanya actually told him, he said, externally, act like a worldly man. Right? Perform your duties, act like a worldly man. In the previous verse we just read, he was an expert business manager. This term is used here. Lord Chaitanya said, externally act like a worldly man, but internally keep your mind and your heart on the instructions of Lord Krishna, service to Lord Krishna, etc. At that time also, it was common for young men to leave home and become sadhus. There was a certain samskar, a certain ritual that would take place. They would take a child to the outskirts of the village. The Brahmins would be there chanting mantras, and they would draw a line in the sand. And they would place the child there. And if the child crossed the line, it would mean that he was a sadhu, and the parents would just leave him. Right? And he would just be left, you know, to live the life of a sadhu. And if he didn't cross the line, he would be considered that he was actually going to remain in worldly life. Nowadays, even if the baby crosses the line, the parents take him home anyway. But at that time, they would actually sometimes, even though their attachment was there, they would follow this particular samskar. And this was even the case because the parents were very attached to the children. Even this was the case with Lord Chaitanya's own parents. When he left home to take sannyas, Sachimala was extremely distressed. Extremely distressed. So even if it can happen to the Lord's own parents, you know, it can happen to anyone's parents. You understand that? So when he went to see Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda, he was called a thief. Narottam Das Thakur says that unless one gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot approach Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami actually got the association of Radha and Krishna while he was staying at Radhakund. He was staying at Radhakund, and he actually got to have their association. As we were saying, Lord Nityananda called him a thief. Right? And he said, you have to serve my associates. That means that you come through the Vaishnavas, through Guru Parampara. Right? By pleasing Guru, who is the representative of Balaram. Balaram is who? He's Lord Nityananda. Right? By pleasing Lord Nityananda, one is able to approach Lord Chaitanya, and only by approaching Lord Chaitanya can one understand Radha and Krishna. Right? Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. Because Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada says worship of Radha and Krishna is for liberated souls. Right? He says worship of Radha and Krishna is for liberated souls. Generally, the engagement in the preaching mission is for conditioned souls. Right? One of the reasons why we worship Gaudiya. The propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement generally is for conditioned souls. We know that there are three levels. The Kanishta Adhikari thinks, I'm a devotee, no one else is a devotee. Right? The Madhyam thinks that there are devotees and there are non-devotees. They discriminate like this. There are some people who are devotees, there are those who are non-devotees. They discriminate, and by that discrimination they are allowed, they have the mentality whereby they can preach. The Uttama Adhikari, he thinks everyone else is a devotee except me. So there is no question of preaching for the Uttama Adhikari. Of course, there is also the example of Prabhupada, whereby the Uttama takes on or externally acts on the platform of the Madhyam, right? In order to show the example, in order to engage in the preaching mission. But as I think we explained previously, even if the Uttama is acting as a Madhyam, there are certain distinct traits which allow one to see that, no, actually he's an Uttama. Even though he's acting as a Madhyam, he's actually an Uttama. Externally, he does the same thing as the Madhyam, but the potency of his speaking is greater. It's shown in the ability to move a greater number of people, and it's also shown in the sense that he's able to advance people much quicker, much faster. So in the association of an Uttama Adhikari acting as a Madhyam, one's spiritual acceleration, if one approaches in the proper mentality, is much greater. Of course, the converse is also true. If one approaches in the wrong mentality, one's fall down is much, you know, heavier as well. That is the double-edged sword of purity. One can gain greater benefit, but if one approaches in the wrong way, one can get tremendous reaction. Anyway, so Gaudiya appeared for conditioned souls. And yes, we said before, Chaitanya Charitamrita doesn't speak so much about Gadadhar Pandit. Right? Even though he's there. And Gadadhar Pandit, it's interesting, Lord Chaitanya couldn't get rid of him. Right? The other Pandu was around Lord Chaitanya in Puri all the time. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya said, you go to Bengal, he would go. Right? In other words, this service and this mood of separation. Right? You go, you propagate the movement. Even though I'm here, you should go there. Don't worry, you'll be with me because you're engaged in this service. You will never be you'll never be covered by the material energy. You'll remain liberated even though you're in this world. I remember February 2006. I was outside the temple in Mayapur speaking to Pangajangari Prabhu. He said something very interesting. He was speaking about preachers. He said, technically they are already liberated. Right? He said, technically they are actually liberated. He was talking about one particular devotee. He said, even though this person is in this world, he said, the person is surrounded by a force field of spiritual energy, which means that even though they're in this world, they never touch directly the material energy, right? Because as long as they're following the instructions of their spiritual master, they're protected in this way. Prabhupada says in at least one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, says this point. The devotees are imperceptibly liberated. That's actually how it works. So you're in this world, but you're not of this world as long as you're engaged in this material, engaged in this mission, rather, of spreading Krishna consciousness. A very nice example is given, that it's like diplomatic immunity. So, you have the ambassador from India, they come to England, right? So they're driving, let's say they're speeding, right? You can't try that person by British law, right? He has diplomatic immunity. So he's in England, but he can only be tried by the laws of his own country, right? The devotee is in a similar situation, right? Where in this world, but actually to the degree that we are surrendered, to that degree you are under the protection of the Daivi Shakti, the spiritual energy. Right? So you're in this world, but you're under superior protection, superior law, to the degree that one is actually following. Right? And following means not just externally, but also it's a question of internal imbibing of the mood, the mentality, the aspiration, you know, the motive of the devotees. That's why here, as we said before, Raghunath Das Goswami's relatives are called Wordman Soul, but they look at how many devotees and Brahmins they're maintaining. But the mentality is, I want to be happy in this world. Therefore, he calls them worms in stool. Not hogs in stools, worms in stool. Right? But they're very pious. They engage in deity worship, everything. They chant Hare Krishna, everything. So therefore, there is great hope. This is where also the whole understanding of devotional service in relation to Jyotish. This is how this is to be understood. That yes, Jyotish is a material divinatory science, right? It's a material divinatory science. If one is surrendering, right, then they are more and more under the Lord's internal energy, right? But that means also, as we said before, surrender is a very serious thing. It is said that Nishta, one's devotional service is primarily, overwhelmingly in the mode of goodness. So you can just consider like this. Is your devotional service primarily in the mode of goodness, right? And Nishta, there's a certain euphoria that takes place. Because up until the platform of Nishta, one has had to struggle extremely hard. Anatta Nivritti means struggle. Right? You feel lust, envy, pride, greed, anger, illusion. It's very strong. Right? But when one attains Nishta, it is a real pinnacle in the life of a devotee. Because from Nishta, you feel the contrast between how much you had to struggle previously and how much at Nishta you feel such a strong steadiness and fixedness in devotional service. And Prabhupada says that from Nishta it's like a fast track. Right? So in one sense, a real milestone in the life of a devotee is to come to the platform of Nishta. When Giriraj Maharaj was last at Soho Street giving class, he explained two principles that get you through Anatta Nivritti very quickly. Right, two principles. One, offenseless chanting. Right, that means don't offend anyone. You know, don't break any of the 10 offenses every day. Really cultivate offenseless chanting. Two, executing the orders of the spiritual master. He said, if you do these two things, right, with real focus, you know, real attentiveness, these two things will get you through Anatta Nivritti extremely quickly. Right, and then from Nishta, you fast track. Right? From Nishta, the elevation, it's almost like you feel dizzy at how easy it is. It's like I was coming from New York. Actually, a better example, I was going to New York. So I had this heavy luggage, right? And so I had a backpack and then this suitcase. And I'm on my way there, and foolishly, I didn't ask for any devotees to drive me down to the airport. I thought, okay, I'll just do it myself because, I don't want to ask any devotees for service. It's like, it's foolishly. So I'm pulling this big suitcase. I've got this backpack. En route, the backpack breaks, the strap breaks. So I have to get the strap and tie it. It's still tired, actually. And then, so I'm struggling to get to New York, carrying this heavy luggage. Now, when I get on the plane, when you check in your luggage, thank God, this heavy burden is taken away. It's like that, right? You're struggling with the burden and all these anattas, these enemies of the mind. But when you get to Nishta, so much of that burden has been removed, right? So much of the luggage, so much of the baggage that we are carrying is removed. Oh, thank God, it's off now. You may have a little backpack on, but relative to what you were carrying before, it's very easy to carry, relatively easy to carry. Of course, there can be no complacency at any stage in devotional life. Because complacency at any stage may cause them to throw you off the plane, right? Stop it somewhere early and give you your baggage back, right? They'll give you back your suitcase, right? They throw you off the plane and they throw your suitcase off the plane and now you're back to where you started, right? But assuming that that doesn't happen, it's very tremendous advancement. So these two things. Because by executing the orders of the spiritual master, you become strong. Right? This is how the science works. You've been given something to do. We've been given the mission. Why have we been given the mission? Actually, if you read in Leelas, there's so many times where pure devotees, even the Lord himself, he embraces someone. Right? They get prema like that. Right? Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha, right? He has prema. Do you think he couldn't give prema to other people? No, he can. Right? But his duty is to give you, he actually has given prema. He has given love of God to everyone. But we have to unwrap the packaging, right? That much we have to do, right? Because the job of the guru is to give you a service through which you attain that love of God. Right? That's actually how it's meant to be. He's meant to give you something through which you can actually access the goal. To understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, right? In the sense that is the mission that we have. But that is not easily accessible. Why? Because when we see Radha and Krishna pastimes, these pastimes look like male-female association. It looks like mundane sex life to a conditioned soul. Right? What determines how we can see it? What determines it is the degree to which we are free of lust. Right? How does one become free of lust? Lust means the desire to gratify one's own senses, and love means the desire to gratify the senses of the Lord. Right? That's the difference. So, in order to become free of lust, one's heart has to become purified. One has to become selfless, free of the desire to gratify our own senses. Right? And in order to do that, one needs a service which is big enough, deep enough, great enough in its scope to completely uproot all tendencies for selfish desire. Right? And that service is the service of saving the entire world, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So when we get that instruction from the spiritual masters, from Prabhupada, that is giving us spiritual strength. There is a shakti that is placed in the instruction. Right? There is a potency that is placed in the instruction. It's like, let's see, I've put some, someone says to you, I've put some money in a safe box, right? They give you the directions, they give you a map. This is how you get to the safe box, right? This is the combination. Right? Now you have to go to that place. You have to use the combination. Then you can claim that which is placed in the safety book, in the deposit book. So that makes sense. Right? In a similar vein, the spiritual master has given you an instruction. Right? So then you have to follow what he says, and if you do it, you claim that power, that potency, that shakti, and by that spiritual strength, by that adhikar, that cumulative spiritual strength, you become qualified for deeper and deeper levels of spiritual activity, spiritual association, spiritual realization. Right? That's actually how it works. The Adhikar qualifies you for deeper levels of spiritual service and realization. Right? Devotees are given Brahman initiation, right? They all get the same mantras. Right? So three times a day at the sandhas, they do Brahman Gayatri. But they don't all have the same experience, right? Because those same mantras are being experienced based upon the consciousness of the particular individual who's chanting them, right? And so therefore, there are different experiences based upon the adhikar of that particular devotee, right? Everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, right? But for the pure devotees, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they are experiencing the leelas of Radha and Krishna while they're chanting. Right? When they're chanting Hare Krishna, they are at certain stages, they are experiencing spiritual emotions. Right? Different experience based upon the adhikar of the particular individual. So as we strict means two things, right? It is not just the following of the instruction, but there's a mood behind it. Right? Here, as we said before, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to approach Lord Chaitanya directly, and Lord Nityananda says, you're a thief. Lord Chaitanya is mine. You want him, you serve me. You follow my instruction. My instruction is you serve my associates, right? Sometimes you see a devotee. They're very attentive to the spiritual master, but they practically have no time for anyone else. That's conditioned mentality, right? Because they don't understand that actually you have to serve the devotees, please the devotees, in order to really approach, right? Instead, they think, well, I'm with Guru Maharaj, right? I can literally kick the devotees aside. Get out of the way. I'm with Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj is coming through. But, you know, disrespect to everyone else. It doesn't work, right? Because they're also Vaishnavas. They're also Guru, right? In Vaishnava culture, everyone is something, right? Everyone is to be respected. Everyone is something. We give greater degrees of respect. So, for example, let's say your spiritual master is here and his spiritual master is here. You give more respect to his guru than you do to your own guru because he's the guru of your guru. That's etiquette. But it's not that you disrespect your guru to respect his guru. So you understand the point. Everyone is something. That is culture. That is the proper etiquette. And as we said, we gain this spiritual strength to allow us to move on. And at different levels of spiritual advancement, there's different levels of spiritual potency. At Darshan, with Shiv Ramaraj, when he was last here, just before I went to America. And I was asking about something he said in one lecture, because he said the Pandava Center is fueled by the energy of Krishna consciousness. He was talking about the youth group, right? He said, youthful energy is good, but if it's not actually Krishna conscious, it won't have much effect. So, the understanding was that actually the effect you have spiritually is based upon your potency. Right? It's not about just, you know, well, I'm a good manager, I'm good at organizing, I've got some really clever techniques. That's not going to do it because that's mundane. You actually need spiritual potency, and then by spiritual potency, then you can have a lasting spiritual effect. You cannot get a spiritual effect by material energy. Right? It's not going to do it. The actual lasting spiritual effect means there has to be some spiritual potency there. But he did also give another point about this when I asked him. He said, that's there. That's one aspect, the purity of the individual. He said also, the other aspect is if they're working under the direction of a pure personality. Right? So that's the other aspect. And he said also, spiritual energy relates to being engaged. Now that's very interesting. Right? Spiritual energy also relates to being engaged. Right? So therefore, it's like Prabhupada says many times, you have the metal, right? It is metal, but when it's placed in fire, it acts like fire. So when the devotee or when the individual is engaged in service, they are becoming like fire because they have placed themselves in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, they can act like fire. They can achieve a result, even if their own credit does not allow it. Right? But actually, through them, they can be used to achieve a particular result. It's also very interesting how devotees come to Krishna consciousness, or how devotees' levels of potency affect other people. Sometimes, let's say there's a devotee, a new bhakta. He preaches to someone and they become a devotee, right? But that new bhakta isn't very powerful, right? Isn't very pure. It can also be the case that the person they preached to had great spiritual credit in the previous life. So when that new bhakta who doesn't have much credit preaches to them, they're becoming a devotee is more to do with their own previous credits, which makes them very sensitive. Right, to the teachings, whereby even just a little association, immediately they become enlivened. Yes, I should take the Krishna consciousness. Right? Or it can be that the bhakti who's preaching to them, they have a lot of credit, either from previous life, etc., or they've done a lot of good devotional service in this life, or they're following very strictly their own pure leaders, right? And therefore they're getting this power to spread. Generally, it's considered that if one is ongoingly able to propagate Krishna consciousness, extend it to other people, to have them accept it, that is a symptom of some degree of spiritual strength that the individual has. But there are many different factors which determine that. Let's see what else we can share about this. And so, you know, as Prabhupada says to one disciple, he said, just simply go on in the spreading of this Krishna consciousness movement. Because if you do book distribution very purely, very strenuously every day, one day you will turn around and you'll see Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. One day when you're doing your service, you'll turn around and Lord Chaitanya will be there. He'll appear before you. And we will be nourished by our spiritual experiences. What you are is actually more important than what you say. Right? Although what you say actually is significant. Because a fool remains hidden until they speak. So your actual effect is also based partly on the sound vibration of the devotee. There's a very nice Vyas Puja offering by Shivra Maharaj, right? And he's listening to Prabhupada. He's listening to Prabhupada, certain bhajan that Prabhupada is singing on a tape. And by hearing the bhajan that Prabhupada is singing, he's he has some, experience. Because he experiences how that transcendental sound vibration coming from the pure devotee stimulates such tremendous realization, right? That is what it means. The potency of their speech is explained in Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. It's also explained by previous acharyas. The potency of their speech and how it affects people, because that speech is not different from Shabda Brahma. It carries their realization. That's the point to understand. So when they speak, if you are receptive, you can have so many spiritual experiences. Let's see what else we can say about that. If they speak, and you're open to that, you are literally transformed because you're with Radha and Krishna. Similarly, of the two, because Shabda Brahma relates to Shastra, it relates to the sound vibration of pure devotees. Of the two, the question comes in the Bhakti Tattva Viveka of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is higher? Which is higher? Is it the Shastra or the statements of self-realized souls? Right, this question comes up. What does he say? There is such a thing as vyuha and vayuda pratyaksha. Right? Vayuda pratyaksha means that there's actually a source of Shabda Brahma. We get our understanding from Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration. Right? Shastra. But Shastra itself has a source. This is explained by Jiva Goswami in the Tathasandarbhas. And that source is Vayuda Pratyaksha. It is the direct perception, the direct statements of self-realized souls. An example is Brahma Samhita. Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Right? Brahma Samhita is the direct perception of Lord Brahma. Right? Everything he's stating, that Shastra is his own realization, revelation of the Lord. Right? And of the two, it actually explained that the statements of self-realized souls, but self-realized soul doesn't just mean any devotee, it means someone who's an empowered acharya, Srila Prabhupada, that is higher. Because they are able to explain how to apply the principles given in Shastra, specifically according to Desha Kalapatra, according to time, place, circumstance. Prabhupada is in one, giving one lecture. Right? The microphone keeps falling off the stand. He turns to a disciple, he says, give me your Brahman thread. Right? He uses a Brahman thread to tie the microphone to the stand. From a strict Vedic point of view, that's sacrilegious. Right? You don't take someone's Brahman thread to tie a microphone. Right? But he can do it. Right? He can do it. Prabhupada, he comes before the deities once. He's seeing the deities. He turns to the devotees. He says, I have captured Radha and Krishna, and I'm holding them captive in my heart. Now you come and take. Right? By normal standards, Krishna, Prabhupada goes to the Bowery. Krishna is not coming to the Bowery. It's a filthy place steeped in the mode of ignorance. All of the people there are steeped in the mode of ignorance, right? Prabhupada comes there, Right? Prabhupada comes, he installs deities, right? And he asks the Lord, please you come. If anyone else asks the Lord will say, no way. Right? But that is the nature of the Prema Bhakta. Right? He can literally draw the Lord at any time. Lord Nityananda was given a benediction by Lord Chaitanya. He says, you go and preach, but any time you call me, I will come. Right? It's explaining Chaitanya Charitamrita. So sometimes the devotees are engaging in kirtan, Lord Nityananda calls forth Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya appears. The other devotees can't see him, but Lord Nityananda can see him, because he has that potency. Right? Krishna Karshani. One of the differences between Bhava platform and the platform of Prema. At Bhava, one has spriti. Sometimes one has vision of the Lord, his leelas. At Prema, one can call the Lord at any time. Whenever one wants to, one can have darshan. Right? Krishna Karshani. That is why the Prema platform is the most exalted platform, and it's very rarely achieved. Right? Because at Prema, one can call the Lord. It doesn't mean that, you see, at Prema platform doesn't mean that one actually sees the Lord always. It means that one sees everything in relation to the Lord, and whenever one wants to, one can just draw forth the Lord's personal presence. Even Vyasadeva, when he's being chastised by Narada Muni, his own guru, he says, the trouble with you is, you've written all these literatures, but you've not written anything which directly glorifies the Lord. When he goes into his trance, he's able to call the Lord directly. Right? And then he's writing Srimad Bhagavatam in the maturity of his full spiritual realization. Very interesting point. So, Bhav Shabda Brahma is Vayuda Pratyaksha, Jiva Goswami says. It is the direct statements of self-realized souls. And even them, how are they understanding things? They have this bhava, this or above bhava, but they have bhava in the sense of transcendental emotions or transcendental feelings. They know what actually will please the Lord at every single moment. Right? Very interesting. That is why sometimes when you see a pure devotee do something, which it may even go against the injunctions, one is doomed if you actually criticize them. Right? You're meant to actually consider that their activities are above the platform of my understanding, so I will make no comment. But then you, for oneself, one still follows strictly. Rules and regulations are followed based upon purity, although that's not an excuse for anyone not to follow, because Prabhupada has given the standard that even for a pure devotee, they will still externally follow. Right? So no one can say, well, I'm on a certain platform, Prabhu, so I don't need to do these things. Right? That cannot be allowed. But strictly speaking, from a technical point of view, that one's rules and one has rules and regulations to the degree that one does not have love of God. Hmm? Very interesting. And furthermore, Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna, he's accepting of the essence. Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's service. Mistakes may even be there, but if a mistake is made with good intention, it will not be regarded in the same way. A devotee makes a mistake. He does something wrong, but the intention is good. He won't be so there won't be such really such strong reaction. You criticize him out of envy, you get the reaction. Right? It's the example given is Brigamuni. Brigamuni is relatively innocent. He just wants to know of Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, who is the supreme. So he offends Lord Brahma. He offends Lord Shiva. Brahma, it is a mental offense. Lord Shiva is a verbal offense. When he approaches Lord Vishnu, he makes the worst kind of offense. Of the three offenses, mental is bad, spoken is worse, and the worst is physical offense. He approaches Lord Vishnu, he kicks him in the chest. Right? When he offended Lord Brahma became angry. When he offended Lord Shiva, Shiva became angry. When he approached Lord Vishnu and kicks him in the chest, the most serious offense, Lord Vishnu says to him, "Oh, are you okay? My chest is so hard. I'm worried that your feet may have become damaged." So you can understand that the three people, this person who didn't take offense, this person was concerned for my well-being, even though I was offending them, he must be the supreme. Right? Now, even though it was an offense from the external point of view, his motive was relatively innocent. He just wanted to know of these three people who's the supreme. But had he done the same thing out of envy, the reaction would have been much, much more serious. It would have been taken much more seriously. So Krishna sees the entire thing. You do something, but why are you doing it? Right? An honest mistake, one thing. You do it out of envy, you'll be seriously chastised. Right? Seriously. Right? And sometimes sometimes the reaction isn't even what you think it will be. In the sense that sometimes Krishna may allow you to carry on your devotional service, but you just don't go very fast. And then devotional service is dry, it's boring, there's no inspiration, why am I doing this? Right? And to the degree that we are not getting some nourishment from the devotional service, to that degree we will have to take it from the material energy. Right? You'll find that you become more materially implicated. Right? So that is also something to be watched out for. And anyway, when we hear from the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, when we hear their transcendental spiritual sound vibration, we know that they are understanding what Krishna wants at every moment, even on the level of feeling. Because for a pure devotee, they have that sense at any time. They can trust their emotions. We can't trust our emotions because we're conditioned. But when one is unconditioned, when one is a prema bhakta, they can trust their emotions. There are pastimes, right? There's one pastime, Radha Krishna Leela. The gopis are looking for Krishna. Krishna, he, in order to throw them off the track, he manifests a form as Lord Narayan. Right? He manifests a Narayan form. So the gopis come, they see Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan, please tell us, where is Krishna, right? And, you know, he's just there. Well, actually, they pay their respects to him, and they're like, excuse me, all respects to you, but have you seen Krishna? Did you see him go by? Right? So they don't realize that that's Krishna in disguise. But when Srimati Radharani comes, he can't maintain that form, right? Because of the intensity of her particular devotion, he can't hide from her, right? Similarly, Ramananda Roy, when he approaches Lord Chaitanya, he understands that this person is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya can't hide his identity from Ramananda Roy. Why? Same reason, right? Because of this intense feeling, right? It actually it penetrates the disguise, right? There are some pastimes where Lord Chaitanya is chastising his devotees, but actually they know that he's happy, he's pleased with them, because they can feel it, right? So actually, the topmost praman, the topmost evidence is feeling, right? But it's feeling when one is on the transcendental platform of prema. Then that is the topmost evidence. One can literally feel, yes, this is what will please Krishna at this time. Mm-hmm. And in a similar way, there's still difference and variety on that platform. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is previously called Chaitanya Mangala, is written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is an incarnation of Vyasadeva, and he's referred to as a cowherd boy. Right? The mood of the writing of the Chaitanya Bhagavad is different from the mood of the writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's a Manjari. Therefore, because he has a different position in the spiritual world, the mood of approach that he has to Radha and Krishna Leela is different from that of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Therefore, literature has a different mood. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur is a cowherd boy, there's always a certain respectful distance that he has in relation to Radharani and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They respect it from a distance. The Manjaris, they are up, they are close, they are there. Right? So therefore, there's actually a sense of there's a different mood, a different flavor, a different mellow in the literatures. Everything spiritually is personal. Right? It's all personal. Even the instruction you're given is personal. The way that you relate to the spiritual master is personal. The way that the deities reciprocate with the devotee is personal. Right? It is all personal. Therefore, we take our instructions as the life and soul. And the intelligent, mature devotee encourages others to follow their guru's instructions also, even if it's a different mood, a different way. You see the spiritual masters, if your eyes are open, you see different moods. Right? Isn't it? They all have their own different mood. You don't lose personality. By being spiritual, you enhance personality. You uncover your full, real spiritual personality. Yeah? There's a pastime with Srila Prabhupada. When he came to the West, he wrote to one devotee who was a disciple of one of his god brothers, and he asked him to come to the West to help him to preach. This devotee asked his spiritual master for permission. Right? He asked his spiritual master, "Can I have your permission to? I would like to go to help Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in the West, and to spread Krishna consciousness. Please give me your permission." His spiritual master said, "No, don't go." Right? Not out of envy. It wasn't out of envy. His spiritual master considered that this is a hopeless mission. It's not going to work, right? You know, you're not going to be able to, you know, Prabhupada, you're not going to be able to go to this place where these people have really fallen. Everyone is engaged in illicit activity. Everyone is engaged in gambling. Everyone is eating meat. Everyone is engaged in intoxication. It's a hopeless mission. It's not going to work. It's a waste of time. So don't go. You stay in India and you preach. This devotee wrote back to Prabhupada, said, I'd love to come with you. I really would like to, but my spiritual master has told me to stay here and preach. Prabhupada wrote back to him and said, if your spiritual master has told you to stay here, it is your religious and spiritual principle to do what your spirit, to not to help me in my mission. Right? You see the point, right? If your guru has told you that, then it is the it is your duty not to help me, right? You see that point. So you do what your spiritual master said. You carry on that principle, right? And then still full results, full mercy will be there. So if we follow and understand that everything about spiritual life is individual, and we take to heed the instruction of the spiritual master, not just the instruction externally, but there's a mood behind it. Right? You can be right. No, worst thing is if you're wrong. You do something wrong. But it's also bad if you do the right thing in the wrong way. Right? You have to do the right thing and also do it in the right way. Then you get the full blessings. Right? You get the full mercy, the full result. And then you become stronger and stronger. This adhikar builds up. And that qualifies us for deeper realization, deeper spiritual experience. And we will eventually, as Raghunath Das Goswami has, you have the association of Lord Chaitanya. And by his mercy, we will understand and have the blessings to deeply realize Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Janata Go Pramnandi Hari Hari Bo. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.